Hello, friends, and welcome to my podcast. This is Sharon, and you are listening to Socialistic Approach. If you're listening to the second episode, welcome back. If this is your first time, then welcome. Today's topic is depression, and I definitely feel like this is a really important topic, and it's something I think is relatable to most people, most Americans, just more honestly, all people. And it's something that has been very, I think has had some major effects, especially since Corona and a lot of the things that we've been seeing lately. I do want to start off by kind of putting a disclaimer out there. I'm not an expert. I am a psychology major. I don't run well with that. I am a student, and I'm a student of life, period. I bring topics that I think are important to the table that really need to be discussed as a community, and just to bring a subject of, you know, conversation and to have a different perspective on it and to help in our thought process. That's the intention of, you know, this podcast really, and these subjects that we're going to be kind of talking about and discussing. So let's start with, you know, what really depression is. There's just many different levels of depression. Normally when people think of depression, we think of major depression, which is your basically typical depression, loss of interest, etc. And I'll go into the meaning of what depression really means. But there are depressive mental illnesses, meaning that they fall on a depressive state, like bipolar. A bipolar falls under a depressive type of mental illness, because with bipolarness, you hit a high and then you hit a very extreme low that causes you to have extreme symptoms of depression, including many times suicide. I try to share information that is reliable, and I always try to mention where I get any information that's not directly coming from me to you guys, the audience. So today we're using psychiatry.org on what is depression. And I quote, "Depression, major depressive disorder, is a common and serious medical illness that negatively affects how you feel, the way you think, and how you act." And unquote. There are, again, different levels of depression you can have. And I think most people, if not all, have experienced depression at one point in their lives. But there is a big difference between a monetary depression, a depression caused by some type of a loss, like the loss of a, you know, loved one, grieving. And then there is more chronic depression, more of an ongoing illness. And it's important to understand the differences, because just because you have had or experienced depression does not mean that you can understand someone who has chronic depression, where your biological system has literally integrated this state of depression more profoundly and for longer term. What makes it chronic is years of basically going through states of depression ongoing, and honestly, you know, making sure that you're being diagnosed by a professional when it comes to this. But that's basically what it comes down to. We are all familiar with the feeling of sadness, you know. Depression feels like you have a loss of interest. You're no longer finding enjoyment in certain things. Your appetite is affected by this, weight loss or weight gain. You have trouble sleeping, whether it's you're sleeping not well or you're sleeping too much, loss of energy, increased fatigue, increase in purposeless physical activity. So even just things like speaking and having a conversation, feeling worthless or guilty, and not really understanding why you're feeling that way. Difficult thinking, concentrating, fogginess, being forgetful are definitely symptoms of depression. And a lot of people out there do not know that. They're also symptoms of anxiety. And I am speaking from personal experience. And there were so many years that I spent wondering, you know, when I used to go through the stages of being forgetful or having a foggy brain, or I used to really punish myself a lot. And sometimes I still do. But I've been definitely more forgiving the more that I've learned about my disorder and how to heal and how to deal with it. You know, you can get to the states where you're having thoughts of death or suicide. I got diagnosed 2 years ago, and I lived with depression, I think, for most of my adulthood. As a matter of fact, I remember being very depressed in high school and struggling with my emotions and how I felt about myself during my teens. So these are things that sometimes people are living with for a long time and don't even realize that you are depressed, you know, because it becomes normalized in our lives. And I'm not sure how many people out there can really relate to that, but especially when you may not have the tools, you know, you may not have an adult that's knowledgeable on this and can really red flag some of the things that they're seeing or some of your attitudes. It should also be in a teenager so hard and difficult for people to sometimes pick up on other things because it's such a rebellious state in your life because you are literally trying to find your identity as someone who's going to become an adult very soon. And when you're dealing with depression, it's very conflicting and confusing. You're not sure if all these emotions and these changes you're experiencing are just a thing of age or there is something else. So I spent a lot of years dealing with depression and not understanding why my mind and my feelings towards myself and my life were sometimes at a state where they were in. One of the things that I think really flagged for me was the older I got, I noticed that I would progressively get worse. So I would go through states that I would be fine. You know, very optimistic, very much who like Sharon is. And then there were states where I really was getting up and for work because I was kind of working to live. You know, I fell into a routine and there was no true motivation in certain states of my life except survival, really. I think I've always had a fighter in me that refuses to give up, but wasn't acknowledging that what I was actually fighting. And I think that's very important. That's why I believe truly in, you know, making mental health a priority in our lives. It is just like going to the dentist, if not even more important, because if you're not taking care of your mind and your neurological system, okay, and I'll break that down on why I'm separating these two, right? Because we think mind, we think brain. But I'm gonna go a little bit farther into that. But it's so important that we're protecting that because that is literally what leads everything about us. Our decisions, how we view our lives, how we respect ourselves, how we love ourselves, how we respect and love others, what drives us, in order to take care of the rest of me, right? The rest of, I need to go make that dentist appointment. I need to go and get that physical. I need to exercise. I need to eat better. But if we're not taking care of our mental state, those things will only last us so long. And as a matter of fact, I can even say people who are in deep depressions and very, very, very depressive states for a long time have a difficult time doing daily things. More so things like going to see a doctor and taking care of yourself, going and exercise, very simple things, cleaning around the house. And anybody who has experienced a little bit of depression can actually relate, at least just a bit. Imagine having that dominate your whole life and dominate it for years. And we have to become aware, and I say have to, because if we don't, there's just going to be such a lack of understanding continuously when it comes to mental health. It's affecting our country so greatly, especially in a time like now. And if you are listening in because you're the type of person that I care about social issues, I care about my neighbor, I care about community, being in tune with mental health is key. It's key. People are out there trying to survive, and I can say that from experience. I was drowning at one point in my depression. I didn't know who to talk to, who to go to, and I was carrying the weight on my own. Why? Because I'm a carrier. Why? Because I learned to get gratification from having people depend on me, because I'm naturally a very helpful, social person, somebody that people can always rely on. And that gave me gratification, but to the point where I felt like I'm not allowed to put a burden on anybody else. And so I carried depression for a very long time. But then depression manifests into other things like panic attack disorder and anxiety. And that was my alarm system. That was my alert, 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 something is wrong. So I had suffered from panic attacks very periodically throughout my life. And suddenly, about 3 years ago, I was starting to have them all the time. I can say that I was averaging almost daily. And I could no longer hide to my family and friends how I felt. I was suffering in silence, and it was taking a hold of my life. I have a lot of compassion and heart for people who struggle with mental illness, because I know exactly how lonely that place can feel. And, you know, for how many Americans suffer from generalized anxiety or social anxiety, how many Americans have experienced a panic attack, and how many people have experienced depression and suffer from depression, it's really surprising how shameful we feel in talking about it. And I say this because even though I'm so open about it as I'm doing on this segment here, there's still a sense of shame. There's still a sense that you feel you're going to be judged, that you're going to be viewed as an individual solely on your depression. And I'm going to tell you right now that yes, sometimes that will happen. Sometimes if you're having a panic attack, you're going to have somebody in front of you who is not going to understand. When you are feeling down and need time on your own, you may have someone who doesn't understand that or may judge your character and your personality and confuse those for your symptoms. My friends, all I can tell you is that self-love and confronting that issue is the only way that you can do more than just survive it, but actually live. And fight with all your might for yourself, because you are worth it. You are worth it. We may not understand depression totally, and there's so many aspects of it. Medically, there's therapy, there's medications, there's also the holistic route. I personally decided to go with the therapy and the holistic route. I have never taken any medication for my depression, my panic attacks, or my anxiety. I don't shame those who have. That's why those options are there. I believe definitely in holistic options. I believe in natural healing. I believe in soul searching. I can only tell you about my experience today. Depression was something that brought shame to my life And then it manifests itself into a blessing. I still sometimes struggle with it. However, I realized that depression was more than just a diagnosis. It was more than just a label, because it sure felt like that way when I first got diagnosed. Oh, this is what I have. And instead of feeling happy, because I at least had some type of an answer, it felt like a death sentence or something, you know? You have chronic depression. You'll be dealing with this your entire life. Great. Jumping for joy here. No. It was hard. It was really hard to take, because I just didn't know what the steps were. And it has been a battle, especially doing it without medication, to find other resources and experiment with medical marijuana, experiment with, you know, herbs and essential oils and meditation and therapy. I'm a very spiritual person and I believe in God. I openly say that. And I have a relationship with God. And I have to say, in my personal experience, those things help me more than just survive, but they help me find myself. Depression helped me find myself. So the message that I want to send out today, sometimes depression may seem like a battle, and it is. There are biological aspects of it, psychological aspects of it. There are things in our lives, things that we have been told, things that we have been ingrained in our heads, experience that are conceptualized in our minds and are made into reality, which all connects to our psychological and biological parts of ourselves, and could create these quote unquote disorders, diagnoses, etc. My personal belief is this: depression has been a alarm that life has brought and saying, there is something within yourself, within your body, your mind, and the way that you have been viewing life that needs to change. And all of us have something dysfunctional, something that has traumatized us, something that has hurt us. And some people have deeper roots of that than others. And I believe truly that these things will manifest in your life some way, somehow, whether it's you can't keep relationships, whether you have some type of illness that have manifested in your body physically, whether you have depression or anxiety, or these are things that let us know that there is a disorder. Literally, the word disorder. There's a disorder. Something's not aligned within us that it needs our attention. And if our bodies and our souls didn't tap at us and say, hey, you're caught up in the routine. You're caught up in what people are saying. You're caught up on the news and all these negative things. You're caught up on words that maybe a parent told you, a lover said to you. We're caught up on an experience that we don't want to talk about because it's too hurtful. Sexual abuse, molestation, physical abuse, and just words. We're experiencing the same things over and over and over again. The disvalue that can be seen through our lives for ourselves can really take hold of us, can really have us forget who we are and what our purpose is. It's blinding. And sometimes depression can be that, hello, I am showing all the symptoms that you are in disorder and that you need healing. And the best way of going through that is to be true to yourself, be true to that reality, and go on a journey of finding yourself and finding a way to love yourself, finding a way to forgive yourself, therefore putting you in a position to be able to forgive others and forgive things that have happened and to take them as lessons rather than a tragedy. I definitely, again, have so much compassion for mental illness and those who go through it, but I also believe in accountability. I also believe in being responsible for yourself, for your life, for your state of mind. And with everything that we're seeing right now, it's very important that we understand where we are at within ourselves. How important is that to you? Your mind is the soul. This is how you are receiving everything. And then your mind is giving direction to your brain, who sends signals and directs your nervous system. This is why this is a neurological thing. People who suffer from anxiety know what I'm talking about. Your panic attacks, that is all your nervous system. We feel it. We feel that shakiness, the heartbeat. All these things are in panic mode, out of control. But it did start somewhere. And sometimes we're so unaware where it started from because we're unaware of what is really going through our minds, what we're accepting as truth, and what we are accepting as law in our bodies. One of the things that I will say is, don't be afraid to seek out help. There are experts here for a reason. Even if you believe more in holistic healing, find a holistic psychologist. However, there are things within our medical field that are helpful. You don't have to abide by everything. But the important thing is that you're seeking help, you're exploring, and that you're gonna start a self-love journey by no longer accepting this disorder, this lack of alignment in your life, and that you're gonna take action to do something about it. And there's a power in that that I really want people to leave with if you are relating to this today. There's a power in owning it that is going to initiate a fiery journey in finding yourself and healing yourself and giving yourself another chance. Depression is an eye-awakening experience if you allow it to be. When we drown in pity, when we drown in hopelessness, and I'm not saying that you're at fault for feeling that way, but what I'm saying is that you do have a choice. You have a choice, and you have the right to ask for help. Because when we're in that state, we don't have all our strength. We don't have all our tools. But seek those, and seek those things that will give you something back. That each day you are planting that seed, that you're watering yourself to make yourself stronger. And a year from now, 2 years from now, you're gonna look back and say, wow, that was me and this is me now. I love you all for listening, and I really, really send positive vibes and a lot of love your way. And if you're finding this message relatable, and I would love to keep going about it, I hope that it was helpful. I hope that it motivates you to put yourself first and to understand that your mental state, your spiritual state is so important in leading the rest of your life. Until next time.